Mel, how long have you been with Syncrude?
I've been with Syncrude for about 22 years, most of my career. I started off actually here at Research and Development as a research engineer, and after 4 years moved to site to work in the mining environment. And I actually started off as a field engineer and worked in various different parts of the operation, and then moved into leadership and management. I've had quite an exposure to how Syncrude operates over the years. Not only have I been sort of in the field, in the mine, but I've also had experience working on the business side. And you know, when I first started up there, I worked on, you know, some of the older equipment that you may have seen, you know, such as a drag lines, picture on my wall of a drag line here, and sort of watched how the mining environment evolved with the application of new technology. So we no longer have these drag lines anymore. We use hydrotransport, which was an enabling technology for the entire industry, actually, and was developed here at Syncrude and had a great impact. Not only did it, of course, allow us to advance into different ore bodies, but it reduced the energy intensity required to mine and process the ore that we have. And then now these areas where we had these large drag lines have been completely mined out. Tailings has been placed in there, and we're starting to reclaim the land. And just recently, actually, with my new position, I was able to go out and tour some of those areas and was able to see the lake that we have over our old mine. I was actually out on a boat on that lake, and also went for a hike in some of the reclaimed land where we have reforested. And, you know, there are moments when I was able to stand in the forest, turn 360 degrees, and would not know that this used to be an active open pit mine.
When you first started at Syncrude, I'll just go back in your history a little bit, but I understand with your education and your training, you were actually heading off in a totally different direction. How did you end up in mining?
My education, my undergraduate degree is in aerospace engineering, and of course I had this idea that I would be involved in that industry, designing aircraft and spacecraft, actually, and also thought, wow, you know, as this technology advances, maybe I'll have the opportunity to go into space. But what happened was I realized that technology within the aerospace industry is no different, actually, than the technology in many other industries as well. And returned to Canada to do my master's in mechanical engineering and was exposed to the oil and gas industry and some of the technological challenges that we had in that industry, including in the oil sands, and got very interested in the opportunity to apply my knowledge, both aerospace and of course with my master's in mechanical engineering, in the industry. And that attracted me to it. It was the challenge and the fact that it was in Alberta. And I love Alberta. And that's how I was involved in the oil sands. And of course, the opportunity came up with the Syncrude research and development that I jumped on right away.
Do you remember what your first assignment was?
Yeah, I actually do. And I'll go back to my sort of dragline example. So these large machines that we use to mine our oil sand were not the most reliable machines, and we were forever, you know, trying to figure out how to get them to operate all of the time. So my first assignment was on the boom of this large machine to determine what the stresses and strains were on the boom and provide feedback to the operators so that they could operate these large pieces of equipment without them breaking. So highly technical, but also very practical, and interacting with the people that actually operate the equipment. And tying those three things together sort of enables you to move the technology forward.
So if you look over your 22-year career so far, what would you say would be some of your personal milestones?
So I think earlier on in my career, when I was a field engineer up in Fort McMurray, I really enjoyed the implementation of the new hydrotransport technology in our Aurora mine. So this was the first satellite mine in the industry to open. and we're applying a number of new technologies in order to improve the efficiency and the reliability of the process. And I was involved in the construction and commissioning team, and it was extremely challenging to apply this new technology and, you know, working with operations, other engineering folks, our maintenance folks, and our partners who developed the technology. And these were not only our internal engineering resources, but our sort of external engineering partners and also manufacturers as well. So there were a lot of people involved, and it was very satisfying to bring it all together and actually make this incredibly complex system work the way it was designed to.
You're the new General Manager of Research and Development with Syncrude. What do you see as being some of your objectives as you move forward into the next few years?
Over the next few years, we have three areas of focus. One is improving what we have already. Okay, so it's improving the reliability, the efficiency of our current assets. The second area of focus is around tailings and reclamation. So how do we manage the byproduct of our operation? And then, of course, reclamation goes hand in hand with that. Is once we've managed the tailings, of course, we need to reclaim the land that that tailings is covering. So lots of focus in that area. In fact, more than half of our research budget goes towards the tailings and reclamation areas of R&D. And then the third area is really looking forward to the next generation of technologies. As our operation evolves over time, there are opportunities that present themselves when we have to open up a new area of mining, a new lease, and this is an opportunity to implement very new technologies. So we need to keep our focus on the future as well and take advantage of these opportunities to implement sort of step changes in technology.
What do you foresee as some of those new technologies being?
Most of the ore bodies that Syncrude have are at the level in the ground where open pit mining is the approach that we're taking. There are many technologies that we're exploring right now to do that in a much more efficient way, you know, looking for ways to reduce the amount of energy that goes into mining the ore and processing it, and also reduce the amount of water that we use to do that as well. So here at Research, we have a number of research programs that are in different phases. You know, they do start, of course, with our scientists doing sort of some fundamental work. We'll do some benchtop testing, move into a smaller scale pilot using some of these new technologies, and then we will move into larger scale commercial pilots on our site to test these new technologies. And that helps us sort of manage the risk inherent in developing some of these new technologies. But we do have technologies right now that are going to significantly reduce the amount of water that we use and also become much more efficient as far as energy intensity.
I was actually quite astounded to find out how much money has gone into research and development just from your company over the last few years, and in excess of $1 billion. Could you outline that for me? How much money goes into all of this work?
Well, first of all, I'll say that research and development, we were the first department at Syncrude in 1964. So that would be 14 years before we actually produced a single barrel of oil. And the first part of our focus was, of course, how do we take that oil sand ore and turn it into oil? The research department used to be located on the other side of the city. 22 years ago, actually 3 weeks after I started my career, we moved into this facility here. And Syncrude has always been dedicated to R&D because it makes sense in this business, right? The technology that we have developed here has enabled actually our business and the industry to move forward. And that commitment has been unwavering over the years. This facility here has about 100 researchers. many of whom have advanced degrees, master's and PhDs, and the facility has been supported, you know, over the 50-year history of Syncrude. So, you know, the money is spent, of course, on the researchers and the facility we have here, but beyond that, as I mentioned, in sort of our innovation process, especially with sort of the larger scale work that we do, we actually have to go to site to test this new technology in the real world environment that we have up there. And there's significant expense involved in doing that. And over the years, we've done that a number of times, you know, with our hydro transport and actually with some of our environmental technologies now, such as our Sandhill Fen and our South Bison Hills as well. We've been applying technologies and developing technologies in the real world environment, and there's a significant cost that goes along with doing that.
Syncrude has also been recognized for the amount of money and effort that you've been putting in over the years in terms of research spending. Can you tell me about a couple of those recognitions?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Most recently, we received some recognition as one of the top 100 spenders by InfoSource for last year. And actually, over the past 5 years, we've consistently been in the top 20 R&D spenders for corporate spending across Canada.
And you also end up sharing the knowledge that you gain. Could you give me some examples of things that are shared amongst the industry?
Absolutely. Actually, sharing and leveraging is a key component of how we do work here at Research. And one of the organizations, actually, to give you a good example of how we do this is COSIA. And COSIA is an organization that's really focused on developing environmental technologies. And it's an industry consortium, let's say, with most of the oil sands producers in Alberta. And what it does is it provides an opportunity for like-minded individuals and scientists to share ideas and to come up with areas of focus and projects, and provides the framework to collaborate. And the result is, of course, that with sharing of this intellectual property and these ideas and the sort of combined resources, we're able to accelerate the pace of the innovation. And this model has worked very well within COSIA. And all of our core environmental technologies within reclamation and closure, water, tailings are shared amongst all the other oil sands companies in Alberta.
And it's not just collaborations with other companies, but also academics, the universities.
That's right. So within sort of the COSIA environment, many of the projects will engage academia and other research organizations as well. And Syncrude, over the past, well, since 1964, we've had a large number of collaborations with academia. We have lots of projects at the University of Alberta. We are involved in a number of different chairs, but also other universities across Canada and into the U.S., and in addition to academia, we're involved in a number of other industrial consortiums where we will engage not only oil sands operations, but other industries to learn from other industries. For example, wear materials. We use a lot of metallic components in our operation, and we work with a number of different consortiums in order to advance the technology in those areas.
Do you think people around the world have any idea of about all of this? How much work you put into the research and development and what you're trying to do?
I don't think they appreciate the amount of focus and effort that goes on, you know, really actually just within my facility. I'm very proud of the work that we do, especially on the environmental side, and the way we've sort of advanced how we're reclaiming the land. And we need to get that story out there. And the only way to do that is with the facts, right? Like I said, going back to, you know, one of my first activities when I was the general manager for R&D was the tour out in the field in the reclaimed land. And I was able to see it firsthand what we're able to do with that environmental technology. So I was on the ground walking through the forest and was able to appreciate where we've come. from open pit mine to a landscape that has had overburden placed back on it to complete reforestation that looks like the boreal forest.
How many patents does Syncrude have?
We have, I think as of today, 183 patents. So actually this was last year, 2016 was an incredible year. We had over 18 patents that were awarded. And we use patents for a couple different reasons. One is to recognize our researchers and the importance of the work that they do. So if you're a scientist and receive a patent for your work, that feels very good because it's confirmation that it's unique research and development. But we also want to protect our intellectual property. We put a lot of resources and effort into developing the technology, and we want to make sure that that technology is available for us and our partners. So going back to the COSIA model, we share a lot of our intellectual property that we have actually protected with patents. So it doesn't mean that we're completely closed and we're holding all our patents as our work. No, it's just to allow us to have control over the work that we do.
It's actually following up, like through the oil sands and the petroleum industry, what was started by the forest industry, I think, because they found sharing and getting together and collaborating really opened up a lot of doors for them. And I think you're also working with the forest industry as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We actually have a forester on my staff. Yeah, this collaborative model, the sharing, it makes sense to leverage others in the development of technology. And I believe it's one of the most important aspects of how we work, because we do need to accelerate the pace of this research. And if there's others out there within Alberta or across Canada or across the world that have experience or technology that is of value to us, we want to work with them. And we're always looking for opportunities to do that.
You have a famous relative, your great-grandfather. Tell me about him. What was his name?
His name was Raymond Bangay, and he actually was very interested in research and development as well. So back in the turn of the century, and not this most recent turn of the century, this is 115 years ago, when he graduated from university with an electrical engineering degree, he was very interested in communication, in radio communication, and was able to get hired on with a company called Marconi and worked directly with them as an engineer to develop radio. And in fact, his focus was on the development and the engineering and the implementation of the ground-to-air radio sets. So this enabled the communication between the ground and aircraft. And it truly actually had a profound impact on history as it gave the British the upper hand in World War I with communications with their aircraft. You know, so I look at that and I look at what we're doing here as well. So he identified someone who had an incredible idea, worked with him to develop this technology, and then implemented this technology in the real world. This is the innovation process, and that's what's very important to us here. It's not R&D just to develop knowledge. You need the knowledge, and you need to practice good science. But it's following it through to the final implementation and experiencing the value of that. And if you do it right, that innovation process, you know, advances the business. It advances how we sustain, you know, the lands that we have disturbed. It improves our environment.
Thank you very much, Mel.
Thank you.